I started to feel.
Okay, we need to get started. We're a little late, and we cannot afford to be late tonight.
They're on here.
Too many things happening. Okay, this is the week. So, forum starts Wednesday morning, and first session scheduled at 9:30. There is a continental breakfast before that. You get there 8:30 or after. So you will have something to eat. You don't have to stop at McDonald's.
Good job.
I thought I was going to be able to talk over her.
Not successfully.
That's bad when you can't. You've got a nice strong voice. You can't do this.
Yeah. So anyway, that's upon us, and that's Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. It will be on line if you got the connector, you know, the code or whatever it is. Post it online. But if you want whatever that is, that password or whatever, you have to go through BBC Oregon.
It's on there.
And gives you a place to go, and they'll get it to you. I guess we don't know what it is until.
No, it's a Zoom connection.
Yeah. And you need to be on the mailing address, Mark. Call Sandy, and she'll just put you on there.
Okay.
And
or you can
you'll
do
get
it.
One automatically.
Yeah.
It's on the site.
Yeah. So
oh, it is? Mm-hmm. Oh, she sent it to my email.
Well, no, she said how to get on there.
Oh.
Yeah, so that way it will be on. And so
it's already on too. Some of them, at least some of the
phone makers
already on
there. Yeah. Yeah. And so is
Dale's. Yeah. I'm not going to send mine in until I'm through with it. As much work as I had trying to proof that thing.
That's what you get for writing the paper all at once.
But it's not all done.
It's not all done yet.
Well, I gave it my all in all.
That's disappointing that you're going to divorce and only 5,000 more. Only 5,000 more. This is why you should do that.
But so anyway, we're having fun with it. Okay, where we left off last week, we did Romans 12:1, and I said we were going to go ahead and do 12:2. And then we'll move on down the will of God chart. That's where we're working. So I don't hate to. I'll let you do the work in this section of the class because I didn't have time to do notes. I've barely been able to get my head above water on the paper. I got the paper run. I had said I wasn't going to do PowerPoint. But the subject works really well with PowerPoint when I can. It's got a lot of Greek in it, and I want to point out some things in the Greek. And so I ended up doing PowerPoint with it, and it's not done. So I don't. We'll see how it goes. I'll be working it tomorrow afternoon, and so. But my paper ended up to 88 pages, so that's a starter on the subject. My brother's is longer.
Seriously?
Dale's is longer than 88?
Yeah, he didn't let me know how much he was ahead of me or had it past him.
So you say the forum is 2 weeks long?
Dale has the first 12 hours.
Well, it was really funny. At one time, people were accusing us of writing these long papers and competing with one another. But these were people that would hand out 4 pages. And it was no more than a sermon outline. And it showed a lot of research. You know, your research shouldn't be your seminary notes. It should be the book. And that will make things a little heavier. on it. So just some calculations. Looks like we're going to be running.
Pastor, do you have one of these? You passed us that last week?
Yeah.
I didn't get one.
Okay.
There wasn't here.
Yeah, okay. That was the only thing I passed out last week. And that's where we are. And last time we talked about that, he purchased it. Have you presented it? And it is your body, your physical body. And so...
He's
got an extra one. That's the same word for is that the same word for yield in the Bible? In the
yeah, it sounds like the word you see in Romans 6.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's translated yield in Romans 6 and some other places. It's an awesome word on it. It's one of those words that would be a great study for a forum paper.
Which word was that before he said yield? The same as yield?
Present.
Present.
Romans 12:1, present.
You've got it. It's definitely an issue in our response to temptation from the adversary, correct?
Right, right.
Because that's a real elusive thing for a lot of believers.
Right. So anyway, that's where we are. And remember, let's talk definitions as we get rolling. The word present means what beside yield?
To stand.
Present.
So it means Mark 12:2.
To give something to somebody.
Stand beside.
Okay.
Stand beside.
I heard the definition you should remember.
Last week.
I wasn't here.
He wasn't here last week. He's heard this before.
I was searching for it.
Yeah. It means to give to somebody something they've purchased. That's rightly there. Parastomy.
Okay.
I mean, I didn't. I broke it into parts there.
Okay.
On it. And so the idea of present, that's what yield is. It belongs when you say, I mean, you know, no reckon yield, Romans 6.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving to someone that which belongs to them. On it. And we talked last time about Indian givers. Mm-hmm. Some people think that you can be an Indian giver. That is to give and take it back. And that's not what that word means at all. And some people think they can get away with it. It's once and for all. It's an error stamps. Whoops, took care of that next question. I wanted to... How often do you have to give it? In that. So we've looked at that. So I come alongside to encourage you. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, this is just for Christians, nobody else, by the tender compassions of God.
Mm-hmm.
The word mercy is inaccurate. It's tender compassions. It's closer to the Old Testament, or chesed, in that matter. But it's tender compassions, is the way I like to translate it. Tender compassions of God, that you present your bodies with the purpose that you present your bodies once and for all at a point in time, giving to him that which he's purchased, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, that is set apart and acceptable to God. And when we understand it, it's well pleasing to him. So you want to please God? Then what you do is you do exactly, I mean, you give your body a living sacrifice. A lot of Christians have never done it. Some didn't know what they, when they made a profession to it. I mean, when you're in a certain generation, which I know a lot, you were doing that all the time. And I came away as a teenager with the idea that it was something you could do every time you turned around. Nobody told me it was an aorist tense because I didn't know what an aorist tense was then. And so every time you had a youth rally, somebody would get up and pull that out of the hat, and next thing you know, you're having kids going down the aisle, you've got to do this. And it was almost like they may have lost their salvation and had to come back and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what they were doing in those things. Now, so it's holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. What is the word reasonable?
Logical.
Logikos. So you're logical. It makes perfect sense. 100% makes sense. The world system says you're crazy. The Bible says it makes sense in that matter. You know, you mean you want to be a priest? Ever anybody do that to you? You know, never. I mean, that's what would happen if somebody said, well, I gave my body a living sacrifice. Oh, you want to be, well, yeah, I'm a priest because I can do that.
Amen. All right.
I'm a believer priest. I can offer sacrifice. And that's a big number one, to offer that sacrifice. Doesn't mean you can't offer the others. But you sure are blessed when you have this one taken care of, when you offer the other sacrifices. And so we talked about, I think it's kind of funny because I'm running a couple of classes in tandem in a sense. I hardly know what I'm teaching in one class versus the other right now. I need to move on. Now, it says, and stop being conformed to this age.
Can we go back to verse 1?
Mm-hmm.
I was curious about the word acceptable.
Mm-hmm.
Acceptable to God. From an English perspective, only looking at this, I can see maybe two or three different ways to look at it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm kind of curious to think, because it can almost imply that if you don't, I mean, that you have to give and present your body as a living sacrifice, holy, and that your body must be acceptable. And that's one way to look at it, okay?
Yeah.
But I don't think that's what it's saying.
That's not what it says.
Or is it saying that this is what, by doing this, this is what's acceptable?
That's what I heard.
Okay, did you hear me when I translated it? How did I translate it? I didn't say acceptable.
Well-pleasing.
Well-pleasing.
Look at that.
Well-pleasing. It has a little EU in front of it. And EU is for good. It makes God happy. The EU tells you that. And he's pleased because he's happy with it. And it's not acceptable or unacceptable. It may say, I mean, you want to please God? That's how you do it. This word is the word you're concerned about.
And by the way, Strong's at 2101, which is the word there, Strong, very quickly, well-pleasing, fully agreeable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm not sure I like fully agreeable.
Well, but well-pleasing.
That sounds like he didn't have heartburn. Anyway, my reactions are.
Thank you for coming back to this first one.
Yeah.
I wanted to throw that in there because sometimes that word can throw people off a little bit.
Yeah, we've got a couple words that relate to these sacrifices, something that God is pleased with. And that's a privilege you have. You're a priest. If you're saved, you're a priest. The minute you believe the gospel, you became a priest. You got to wear a clerical collar. Now I'm saying that and half of you don't know what I'm talking about. No. All of us became priests.
Mm-hmm.
You didn't have to be in the right tribe. You had to be in the right family. You had to be in the family of God.
Wow.
Well, really, you had to be in the body of Christ. Mm-hmm. And in the body of Christ, you're a priest. And so it makes no difference to gender, because we're all priests, equally priests, equal priests. Now, we talked about access. We all have direct access to God. We don't need an intermediary. The only one that mediates for us is Jesus Christ. And the Father looks at him. When you're related in Christ, he sees Christ before he ever sees you. Sounds like a song we sing in that matter. So that's really important. So, okay.
Seems like the context, too, Pastor David, takes the legalistic aspect out of it, the religious aspect. He says, I encourage you
mm-hmm.
to do this and do it because of his compassion, and you do it so it could be well-pleasing. There's no law, no commandments, no...
Well, and we're going to see that more clearly when we get into this verse further. You see, I keep pushing, trying to get into the verse.
Hey, don't blame me. I'm
being quiet tonight so far. The night is young.
So he says, stop being conformed, is the way the AB translates it, to this age. Now, pick up on that, because that way will help you a great deal. I had a phone call this weekend about this verse. And all I had to do was point another item out in this verse, which we're going to look at momentarily, and it solved the whole problem. And it was kind of funny. So it got taught Sunday school in Sunday school the next morning accurately with a little more punch. It was so funny. And it was Grant. He calls me and he asks me this question. And I said, well, don't you see this word? And then all of a sudden, he was embarrassed almost as he called me. He doesn't get embarrassed calling me. He calls me. He didn't call me today. If he did, I didn't get the phone answered.
You should have been embarrassed for asking your Grant, don't you see this? I'm surprised he didn't pick up on that.
His favorite songwriter is Fanny Crosby.
Outstanding.
And Fanny Crosby, every one of her songs talks about seeing. And that's always fun, because he was blind. Mm-hmm. And that's, I mean, she's a favorite of all the folks at Bartimaeus. They love to sing Fanny Crosby. I think I've got Grant, I'm trying to get an hour off of my time down in July, I mean August. And I'm trying to get him to do a sermon and song on Fanny Crosby.
That'd be worth getting on tape.
They do record down there.
Well, I mean, if he does this, the sermon is on.
Yeah. Well, I twisted his arm a little bit. I'll see if it got twisted enough.
He could do it. Yeah.
Pray for Grant. I don't know what's happening today or what has happened today. He has met Tioga, mm-hmm. his new guide dog, and they're in training for 2 weeks.
That's probably why he didn't hear today.
Well, he doesn't like much interfere sometimes. He's going to miss the forum, and he feels pretty bad about that, but his guy is going to be on tape on it. So anyway.
It's going to be on Zoom, too.
But he doesn't do him much good.
No, I know. But
he listens to it on Tuesdays, though.
Yeah, he does.
And it gets better. It's better on Zoom than on the phone.
I thought that was pretty funny when you said, we can see you. And he says, well, I can't see you.
Yeah. So anyway, conformed. It's an interesting term because it really doesn't have much to do with inward form. It's external. It's outside form. The word is schema. It's an appearance. It doesn't mean there is an inward reality. When you conform to this age, you're a Christian. Mm. And so there's no reason to be an age conformer, because we have someone who took care of that age. He fulfilled every bit of it. Mm-hmm. And so I'm glad I don't have to have a document hanging on my wall with 10 words on it. Well, that's what they call them. Most call them the 10 Commandments. Conformed, have an outward appearance, look that way. Some people are that way. An age conformer is someone who is trying to show God how righteous they are. An age conformer is trying to show God how righteous they are by keeping, and we'll see that just the next word. And that's why keeping law. In that matter, there are two kinds of Christians that have issues with law. You have age conformers, who are those who are trying to live by law to show God how righteous they are. Then you have Galatianites, those who are described in Galatians, and they are living by law, and they're trying to show everybody else how righteous they are. And so one is very much a sin nature thing. The other one can be that or more. And so a Galatianite, I've gone through this over the years because I look back because I was a good Galatianite. And nobody told me I was a Galatianite.
Too many of us
were. What? I was a very Galatianite.
You don't know.
That's what I'm saying. We both live the same kind
of life. Right, right. But it was a thing where you're living this life to let everybody see how righteous you were. I did so many things, and I look back, and they were all just to show people that I was as good as they were, or better, usually better.
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody in church read their Bible through once in a year, I read it through five times a year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You were
boy.
Yeah, that's all I did was read my Bible almost during that year. You know, and the worst part was I didn't learn a whole lot reading it that many times. And I should have learned a lot.
Speed read?
Well, I ended up doing some speed reading too. Be amazed what you can do during a morning service. Anyway.
In both of these, wouldn't it be true that besides using the law of Moses, especially with the Galatianite, that you can use an arbitrary set of standards?
Any kind of law.
So, in other words, in both cases, it wouldn't just be the Ten Commandments for the legalists, too, because that's what I've seen, is that they weren't so much people who were trying to prove they're righteous to God, and that's not necessarily even the law, but they had a set of standards that they made.
Yeah, and some people might say, you know, I don't eat Rice Krispies, therefore I'm more righteous than you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, I don't remember seeing anything about Rice Krispies in the Mosaic Law. You know. And so you have, I mean, these standards, it's a law, a quality of law there. A lot of Mosaic, true. Now, let's read on so I get to where I wanted to go when I started. Be not conformed to this age. Now, if you don't have that changed in your margin, I have a problem in that I see very, very, very few translations translating it age as it should be. And so, no wonder we're confused. I mean, the good old NIV says worldly. And you know, it's kind of interesting. That's what I heard all the time. And that wasn't the NIV.
And if you start out believing this is the basis for not being worldly, you get 1 John 2, of course, and you do get it corrected to age, it's an easy thing to jump to Galatians 1 and make it the present evil age. Well, it's not the world system, it's the present evil age.
Yeah, and it's Galatians 1:4 is what happens.
You just bury them.
Yeah, and so you end up with the wrong age, and it's real confusing. Now, you'll notice in front of it, well, in the Greek it's after it. It says this age. This age. Now, grammatically, panic not. I'm going to use a grammatical term. I'm just getting warmed up for the forum. and that's what we call a near demonstrative pronoun. That is true in English grammar as well as Greek grammar. When it says this, it's near. When it says that, it's far. That's the difference between the two, near and far. And this is a near demonstrative. It's kind of interesting. In Hebrew, we have the same thing. In Hebrew, we have zet and zoth, which are masculine and feminine near demonstrative. We have elah, which is a common plural near. And then you go to, your pronouns, who and he, and become the far demonstrative. So this is talking about something near. Near. Now, what's it near? Well, I know that Galatians is just a couple of books down, but that's not near.
It's like nearer.
Much nearer. Yeah, because he talks about this. Now, there are two words you've got to remember in Romans 12. The word is therefore and this. Now, what's the rule for therefore?
What's it there for?
What is
you there want to find out what it's there for. And therefore is connected to context most of the time, previous context. Now, what do you know about Romans chapters 9 through 11? Pardon?
Righteousness? Or
it's Israel? Yeah, righteousness starts at chapter 1 and goes right on through. And what happens in 9 through 11, the righteousness of God is illustrated by his treatment of Israel. You see, so 9 through 11, and it's really interesting, it's a rare day that you'll find anybody outlining the book of Romans without going 1 through 8, 9 through 11, 12 through 16. I mean, that's just the normal outline, unless somebody wants to be different.
Repeat it again.
1 through 8. 9 through 11, and 12 through 16. It's a three-point outline. It outlines nicely. You know, the first part is the righteousness of God manifested in the work of Christ. The righteousness of God had illustrated to Israel in the way he handled Israel. The righteousness of God, as I'm going to do it this way, as it should be in your life, in 12 through 16. And so that's it's a very normal three-point outline. I haven't taught a seminary class in Romans, but I'll tell you what would happen. I think we were talking tonight at the pre-service and about an outline I did in 2 Peter, whenever that was. And there were three names that I had put in the outline. And I think, after I thought about it a minute, what I like to do when I start a letter, and like we finished 1 Peter, I went to 2 Peter, and I probably put the outlines of three different guys in there that I thought were good outlines. Seminarians get spoiled rotten. I want them to do their own outlines, but I give them enough help they could copy a whole bunch of them. Because lots of times I will hand out an outline with maybe 20 or 30 other outlines from different people, of books. Mm. And it's just to get an idea of how it works. And I might not agree with some of them, but I usually try to do that so there's some facility, because I always assign my, when I teach those classes, I always assign outlines of the book. And so, it's unreal. It's been an interesting thing. I really miss the torment of having them outline 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians.
Yeah. Your year's coming.
I'm thinking about it, believe me. I'm right now.
Well, when we first started the seminary, my assignment were all the Bible analysis class was all classes first year and all of the Hebrew classes. And so I drew Ephesians, Colossians, which is awesome. 1 and 2 Corinthians, which is long. How do you do verse by verse and form by form in 16 chapters and 12? That's a lot of chapters. And it is just, that's a killer. And I know the students just about die in the vine trying to outline it. Right, Ray?
Right, yes, sir. What did you say?
And then the other classes I have taught for years is 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So that was my battery. And I could always, when I got into 1 and 2 Corinthians, just because the amount of work it took to try to get the high points. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, I was on vacation. It was awesome. And I like those books pretty well anyway, too, all of them. Okay, this age in Romans deals with the law and legal age. It's the legal age. The legal age started when the dispensation of law started. It started at Mount Sinai. It really was triggered by the events in Exodus 19 when Israel said, all that you say to do, we're going to do. One of my little all words in Hebrew. Anything the Lord says to do, we're going to do it. I don't think anybody in their right mind should volunteer to do whatever. I mean, say that you do, tell us what to do and we're going to do it. We don't understand our incapacity. And that's what they did at Sinai. And that age started then. Now, I need to say something about ages quickly. So I'm not going to answer any questions related to it, but a dispensation, and we know this because we've reviewed it here, that is, a dispensation reveals something to man about himself by a stewardship, under a steward. An age is used by God to reveal something about himself to created beings, human and spirit. And so an age is revelation, revelatory of God. A dispensation shows us how good a failure we are. Every dispensation ends in failure. I'd love it if this one didn't. But I know it is. You know, I see it everywhere around me. And I don't know, I have a little problem. And that is, I really don't want to be a part of the failure.
And
Yeah. Give us that final punishment. Yeah. Get us out of here so we won't interrupt what your plans are.
Right. Amen. Could you repeat that again, Pastor Dave? That age reveals
something. Something to created beings about God.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And so it's designed differently. Mm-hmm. And the ages will continue after the millennial kingdom. How do I know? Seems to me I read in Ephesians says into the ages of the ages.
In dispensations? Yeah.
In dispensation, this is real simple, but dispensation reveals something to man about himself.
We used to talk about ages as being time words to press the point that dispensations are not.
No.
Time words. However, according to this metric that you've given us, and one with which we've become familiar, the age is really not primarily a time word. It is a mechanism.
Of revelation, but it fits in time. Usually you can, in an age, find a beginning and an end on it. Not always. It's not always clear. And I'd love to know what he's going to reveal in the ages to come.
It is termed times of ages, right?
Well, but time there is not age. That's chronos or chronion.
Yeah. So anyway, let's keep going. But so therefore ties to 9-11. 9-11 deals with law, without a question.
Mm-hmm.
And this is near demonstrative. So it's this one that is in the preceding context. How can you say this is the one that's down? Where are we? 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, Galatians, three books down. And it makes, I mean, it makes, and I have heard that so often. Anybody that finally got it, that's age. Sometimes I wondered how some of those pastors got it because they didn't know much Greek. And they would say age, and that really blew my mind. Because I believed them when they said it was a present evil age. And that went with a whole lot of frou-frou on it. And so don't be conformed. Don't let the evil age bring you into conformity. You know, and to show God how righteous you are. And I mean, I've been reading some people that are really trying their dead level best to be righteous. I'm reading about a guy right now. He just practically ate and slept, learning in his studies. And he was a renowned rabbi of the Hasidic Jews in Israel. And, I mean, every minute, it was really funny. He had people come through his office, and he had been studying. And it was an appointment. And he had been running his finger on the text of the Talmud. He stopped. He took his left hand, put his finger where his right finger had been, and what did he do? He shook hands with everybody with his left hand on the place he'd left off. And in between, he would breathe and move his finger. He was a learner. And the Jews felt that he was such a holy man, that he was so holy that maybe a Messiah would come because he was earning Messiah's arrival, which happens to be a part of Hasidic Judaism. Okay, stop being conformed to this age. They were doing it, and so make sure you get that in your note. But be transformed by the renewedness of your mind. Transformed. Now, most of you know that word. If you took biology, you know, general biology, you know it. It's the word metamorphosis. Where did you learn metamorphosis in biology?
Butterflies
and caterpillars. Where else? Pollywogs and frogs. You know, that's the word that's used. Meta means a change, and morphe is form. A change in form. This is an inward change that takes place. And he says, and what he says here, he uses a passive voice. Sounds like something I've been talking about it recently. as a passive voice. Let somebody else change the internal form of you instead of trying to put on makeup to make people think you're something you're not, related to the age. Let the Holy Spirit obviously is the immediate agent of this by the renewedness of your mind. Now, I translate it that way as of the ending. It's not an ing word. If it was an ing word, what would it be grammatically?
Probably a participle.
That would be a participle. And it's not. It happens to have a cis ending that describes an action, but I don't like to put an ing on something that's not a participle. I'm too uniformitarian when it comes to grammar and that. So it's that renewedness. Huh. Where in the world in your old crummy, dirty mind do you get a renewedness? You don't. What does it say? We have a quality of the mind of Christ. And that's the last verse, 1 Corinthians 2.
Doesn't the word renewing and Anna means up?
Again.
Again?
Yeah.
It wouldn't mean up.
No, well, I'd love to do that, but I don't think it'd be honest.
Right.
I mean, Anna means to be up. I mean, what he could say, well, it means to get your head where it belongs. And yeah, that's part of it, but that's not that word.
From above, yeah.
Or from above, yeah. But it's an action that's taking place with the renewedness of your mind that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Prove. Prove is put to the test. Put to the test. It's a metallurgical term. It's a term that, I mean, if you're into metals, you'll be used to that. You go to a jeweler store and they talk about the different qualities of gold. And if they're honest, they'll tell you what's mixed with the gold. You probably would not want a pure gold ring. Why?
Too soft.
If you swatted a fly, it might fly off. Not the fly, but the ring.
Mm-hmm.
On it, because it's very soft. So they always have to put an alloy in it to harden it. And that's why you have, when you have yellow gold rings, you have white gold rings. And it's the way the alloys are mixed. And so, you know, you used to say, this is 99.99% pure ivory soap. I guess some of you knew what I was talking about when I said that. That was the ivory ad, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I mean, it was a big thing. 99.99% pure. Well, that's what this approval does. Why do you check it out? Because if there's anything that's not pure, you want to get rid of it. And I think that's what he's using it here for. So that you may prove what is that good. The word good here is that word that will make God happy. Agathos. Should make you happy if it makes God happy. And it should make other believers, especially spiritual believers, happy as well. That's what agathos. It's a good to make someone else happy. So it's good and acceptable. That looks familiar to me. Verse 1. Same word. Same form. Well pleasing. So it's acceptable, and that means it's acceptable to God, and it's perfect, and the word perfect here is the word complete. Teleos. Complete. I haven't seen a text for a long time, a Greek text or anything written in Greek. I used to have a few classical Greek volumes around, but I still have some of them. I used to look at the Loeb Classical Library. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Most of you probably don't. It's a library where they have classical Greek, you know, the Iliad and the Odyssey in Greek, with a translation, and a lot of those old ones, Euripides and Plato, yeah. And so it's just interesting. That said, it has Greek, old Greek writings. It has Latin writings, you know, Julius Caesar and all that. But anyway, some of those volumes used to have telos at the end. That was the word end. Once in a while, they put an article in front of it, but usually it was just straight telos. And so this is, when it's perfect, it's complete. So when we talk about the perfect will of God, you know, God has it set up so there's a perfect will for you and a perfect will for me.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why we were talking about that last week. I mean, it's easy to divert by decisions that we willfully make
mm-hmm.
on our part from the perfect will of God. And yet he doesn't destroy us because we make those decisions. I mean, if it were true, look at how many Christian kids. They date an unbeliever. He would have zapped every one of them, male or female. But he didn't. You move out of his perfect will. Because his perfect will is clearly revealed in Scripture. He says, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. That's pretty clear, I think. And so it was, I mean, to go, and so there's room for what we would call a permissive will of God. He permits it. Yet you're going to miss the benefits of, and I have to be real careful here, but a lot of times I think some believers end up getting out of the perfect will of God, and somebody else's perfect will of God happens to be what they were supposed to do. But I don't have a verse to prove that. You know, I'd like to have one. And then I could, you know, throw it around a little bit. It's not there. Okay. And so, the perfect, desirous will of God. That's what we're talking about here. Philema. Present your bodies a living sacrifice. And be transformed by the renewedness of your mind. That's the will of God.
Mm-hmm.
That's where it starts. That willingness to present your bodies. And it's the most logical thing that you can ever imagine when you're a believer and you understand what God has done. In this material I'm doing this week, I didn't have to look at the terms that are used, where all is used related to God. You know, here's a line. I'm going to be trying to get people to think. And you think of this line. He is the God of all comfort.
Of all grace.
Yeah. But see, the all?
Yeah.
There are a whole lot more of them. And that's what I'm trying to get people to think about. When you see that little all, or you see an every, most of the time it's going to be the word pos in some form. And when you stop and think about it, you know, it is really okay to stop and think about it and to savor it. All comfort. You're not going to get comfort from somewhere else. Some people think that their best counselor is a guy. And his name is Jack Daniels. And that's where they find comfort. Right?
Mm-hmm.
Might not be Jack Daniels, but it'd be a relative of his.
I only know this because I read it in a book, but some of that brew is actually called comfort.
Southern comfort.
Yeah. How would you know?
You read the same book.
I had a friend.
I'll take that. Yeah, the commercial version. Hi, Myra. Sorry.
What do they make? Irish comfort is in Tennessee or Jack Daniels.
Yeah.
No, there's a big. It's primarily the town almost, isn't it?
What?
It's. Just, I mean, it, mostly the town is built around that.
This town won't exist otherwise.
Yeah. All right. Maintain the economy of rural Tennessee. Anyway. Okay. Any questions about these? The desirous will of God is that you present your body and know the sense of it. He presented. He purchased it. And that's why that chart I handed you, which is not a chart, it's a bulletin cover. I just made it big. And every once in a while I'll slide that in. I think our people kind of need to be reminded. I like to think that they are reminded of something they have done. And don't play Indian giver.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people, they just need to be right-minded. They get it. And you don't have to try to use your body in the wrong way. And we're human beings. We are depraved, fallen human beings, and we have this tendency to use our body in the wrong way. And so that is the reason I put that chart out. Number two, believe it or not, I'm going to spend a few minutes on number number two is be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Number three, use your spiritual gift. Uh-oh. Here we have an interesting problem. First of all, you notice what it says. Use your spiritual gift. Singular. I'm on, my shirt's purple. Yours isn't. Hard that little white half sheet.
White.
Use your spiritual gift. Let's go and see about it. And look at the verse that we have here. And the one I want to go to is 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 18. 1 Corinthians 12, 18. Okay, while I'm going there, let's be reminded. Where are you going to find spiritual gifts? 4, 12, 12. 12, 12, 4, 4.
Ephesians, 1 Peter, 1 Corinthians, and Romans.
Okay, let's do that. 1 Corinthians, 12, 13 and 14, but the list turned 12. Romans 12, it's in the middle of that chapter. Then the fours are Ephesians 4, where you have a list of men who have gifts that are identified by their gifts. And then in 1 Peter 4 and verse 10 doesn't have a list of gifts. In fact, verse 10 and 11, really. But it tells you you have one gift, and it tells you how the gifts are divided out. You have speaking gifts, you have serving gifts, verse 11. And so, or ministering gifts. And so it breaks it out. So those you need to remember in this, and it's always a temptation to say we're not going to try it. I seem to get solicited rather often to go through spiritual gifts. And you know what you need to do? Is sit down, study these passages, and make a list of the permanent gifts. And if you don't know what your gift is, just check off the ones you know aren't, and pretty soon you'll narrow it down to two or three. And then you'll have a chance to work on it. And the Holy Spirit will show you that what it is, I'm sure. Not narrow-minded to me. But yeah, that's what happens. So 12:18, and you'll see why I say what I do when I read this verse. I think it's still in my Bible. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another. Whoops, what am I doing here? 18. I'm looking at the wrong verse. I was going to say we're going to contemporaries. But now hath God set the members, every one of them, in his body as it pleased him. Now,
his body, not the body.
No. Oh, in the body. No, I didn't read it right. My bifocals are that, not so good for that part of the page.
I just was
interesting.
Okay. Did you see fellow in there?
See what?
Please.
Okay. Fellow is desirous will. It's not found in the AV translation. It's the word pleased. So let me reread that verse maybe better the second time. But now hath God set members, every one of them, in the body as he desirously willed.
Verse 11,
you
the same concept as
well. Yeah, now he's talking about differences there, the diversity. Yeah. It's their difference.
The person of God in here just to provoke the can of worms.
I'm not going to let you open a can of worms. You know what that means? If I had to find that person of the Godhead, you could prove that each person of the Godhead had a role in your spiritual gift and letting you have it.
Is this the Father?
A desirous will. I think that's why he uses Othello. If he determined it, everybody would be a little automaton. And here you have the latitude of doing what he desires.
Because we know that the Son, we know that the Spirit distributes them for the world.
Right. And the Father's the originator.
Okay. Out of the Father, 1 Corinthians 8:6.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you have your spiritual gift because the three persons of God had wanted it for you. And so they all won out. It didn't take one of them to win out. So every one of the persons of the Godhead got you a spiritual gift.
And we're getting a little support from this too, from 2 Peter 1:4 maybe, the nature.
Yeah.
I mean, the fact that the Father has a very vested interest.
Right. There are a lot of directions we can go to demonstrate all three of them. But the thing is, that spiritual gift that you have, now, you know, some of you may be here tonight and you say, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. And you say, I can't use it. I don't know what it is. No, the funny part of it is, you use it even though you don't have it. No, you have it. A lot of times. You use that spiritual gift that God gave you, and you're oblivious to what it is. Some people have been that way. I've known some people that were willing to ignore their spiritual gift and look for every other spiritual gift under the sun. Didn't want that gift. I don't know how many years it took a dear brother and a dear friend of mine to finally confess that he knew that he had a pastor-teacher gift. But he didn't want it.
He wasn't going to have to go to Mexico, was he?
No. This guy is in better spiritual shape than that guy. You know why he didn't want a pastor-teacher gift? Because he saw the way churches treated pastors. And he figured he couldn't take it. And years and years... Now, right now, I don't know how many he's teaching now. He was teaching 3 Bible studies a week.
Wow.
He's
using it.
Well, he has admitted to me that he knows that's what it is. It took him a long time to realize. I think it was just that little fear that if he admitted it, that God would put him in the pastorate. You know. And he was as well trained as many that are not seminary grads. And so he didn't want the gift. But you have a gift. And check the lists out. And it's one gift. Let's prove that before we quit. And that is, go to 1 Peter 4, 10 and 11.
1 Peter 4:10-11.
Good. It's a good one to remember. In the pastorate, it's one that I find is always a big encouragement to me. Because I'm watching people trying to find out for me what their gift might be. You know, there are people that can do a whole lot, do things far, far, far better than I can. And if I can figure out who has which gift, I can let them do it. And, it's interesting. It took me a while to really understand that there are a couple gifts that would do a lot better in a hospital than I used to. I'm haunted by memories of the past. I could not stand hospitals. 5 years old, I learned the smell of ether. Yeah, it wasn't very good. And then they put ether in model airplane cement. And I could smell that ether, and I wanted to build planes, and I didn't want to glue them, but I had to glue them, and it wouldn't work. Wow. And that started, and it was one of those old hospitals, and all of the smells, I still could quick pick up ether today. Mm-hmm. This was, a couple years later. And so at 5, I had that. And then from there on, I had enough hospital experiences. I was always thankful at that time that I never had to go into a hospital room. I sat in a lot of lobbies because they wouldn't let kids in hospital rooms. So my dad would go on calls, and I would end up supposed to be behaving in the waiting room in the lobby of the hospital while my dad, or if I wasn't behaving very well, it would have been mom and dad, but then one of them had, but he always went, and I couldn't stand those odors. And if somebody has the gift of helps or showing mercy, they could do a lot better than I can. You know, when I first got into the pastorate, it was really interesting because those odors would get me. I'd walk in and I'd be standing at a side of the hospital bed talking to somebody and sharing. And it was funny. The floor started to move. And it was crazy. And I generally wear slip-on shoes. But I wore slip-ons into the hospital, and I tied them a lot of times. You know what I mean? What I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I leaned clear down, get my head below my belt, and acted like I was tying my shoes. And then when the deck quit rolling, then I didn't tie them anymore. And I knew the person in the bed didn't know that I didn't have tie shoes. You know, but if somebody had the right gift, they'd have come in and helped, done it without any problem. Mm-hmm. And they may have at one time felt the same way I had. Now, I don't know. I like to think they are a cleaner hospital than they used to be. You can't smell staph infections. So anyway, you have a spiritual gift. If you're saved tonight, you've got one. And I'm coming over here to read it. As every man hath received a singular gift. There's no article in front of gift. If there was an article, you'd all be pastor teachers with me. Or I'd be whatever your gift is. It says a gift, a quality of gift. And it's singular, to minister the same to one another, like good stewards of the many facets of the grace of God. If any man speak, there's a speaking gift, as the word of God or oracle of God. If any man minister, next round or next half, let him do it as the ability which God giveth, that in God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ. See how these gifts work with two persons here, and we do have the Holy Spirit underneath us here, to whom is praise and whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Mm-hmm. One gift, don't forget there's no article. Because if there was one, we'd have the same gift. So that's a really important passage in the matter of spiritual gifts. Okay, then what will happen, I might come back just a minute and talk about Paul. You notice I have a list. Paul is an apostle by the will of God. That's the desirous will of God. And he says it more than once. And we might just take a minute to look at a couple of those. You see they're on in one verse. And then we'll be back and say, give yourself to the Lord and to other believers. And that's 2 Corinthians. Okay, let's go ahead and break.
Let me show you something.
No.